Next 20, 25 minutes, we're going to be studying the Word of God. That's right, I said 20 to 25 minutes. We're going to be studying the Word of God. It's so good to see all of you this morning. Reaching your full potential, right? What makes me qualified to talk about that? What makes me able to say, this is how you reach your full potential? I mean, I'm not even fully grown, so how can we do that, right? So hopefully this morning, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about what God says about that. We're going to talk about what Jesus says about that and how to reach it. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Let's go ahead and get it started. And yep, I forgot my clicker. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sir. All right. There's my clicker. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, this is what he says in the book of Genesis, right? Chapter 1. And the Lord said, I said chapter 1, I'm sorry, it's not chapter 1, it's chapter 11, verse 6. Chapter 11, verse 6. We're talking about the Tower of Babel here. Babel or Babel? I'm used to calling it Babel, so the Tower of Babel. And so, you know, the people are, they're supposed to move. They're supposed to go somewhere, right? They're supposed to spread. But they say, you know what, let's not do that. Let's just stick together and let's build something that's really great. Let's make it where it will reach to heaven. So this is what the Bible says. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. Wow, this is really interesting. And they have all one language. This gets more interesting. And this is only, this is the phrase I want you to focus on, the beginning of what they will do. Right? This is only the beginning of that, of what they will do. Right? They're going to do great things. They're going to do many things. But is that what God wanted them to do? And then he says, and nothing that they propose to do will be now impossible for them. Now, that is really interesting, isn't it? That people had, during those times, a determination to say, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. God saw that and he said, well, that's not what I told them to do. That's not what I had in mind for them to do. Well, you know what? Let's confuse their languages. And that's what God did, because that's not what God had in purpose. Although, look at this phrase, they could do anything that they could want to. They could be anything that they wanted to be. And they could accomplish so many things. But is that what God asked them to do? That's not. You see? Now, I have a few questions for you. We're going to move rather quickly because I have a lot of material. So we're going to move really quickly. And I apologize if I speak too fast or if I change it to Spanish. But if I do, just you have this screen, okay? Where have you been? Where have you been? What have you learned from the past? What have you learned? What has the past teach you? What did you learn from it? From your mistakes, from the things that you have done, what have you learned from that? So where have you been? The places that you've been, the things that you have experienced, is there anything that we learn from those things? Number two, what are you doing? The things that you are doing right now, how are they going to help you to accomplish what God has wanted you to accomplish? How are you reaching your full potential with the things that you're doing right now? Are you in the place where you say, right now, this is where I want to be. This is the type of person I want to be. So what are the things that you are doing right now that are going to help you accomplish that? How do you get there? This is very important. A lot of times, and this is where I have the most trouble. When I teach a lesson, I like to teach on the things that this is what God says. This is what we need to do. But sometimes I do forget to tell you, how do we accomplish that? So hopefully not today. Hopefully today I will tell you, this is how we get there. This is how we get to our full potential. This is how we accomplish it. We got to know our role. What is your role in the family? What is your role in the church? What is your role in life? You see, we all have a role. As a man, as a woman, as a father, as a mother, as a son, as a daughter, grandfather, as a grandmother, as a husband, as a wife. You see, we all play different roles. We all have different roles. This is the interesting thing, brothers and sisters, that a lot of times, the one at the very bottom as a Christian, we may forget about that. What is my role as a Christian in society? What I know sometimes it's very hard to live to the world's expectations, but you know, we don't live up to that. We live up to Christ's expectations. We have to know our roles. We have to know what role we're playing. We can't succeed if we don't know what our role is, right? I mean, I put there the first picture is a lineman, right? Lineman in football. What is their job? One of them is one group is to protect the quarterback. The other one is to try to get him. You got to know what your role is, right? You got to know what you're doing. In a team, isn't that amazing? It's just, maybe that's why I love football so much. Because the way everything moves, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the other team is doing. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I never saw that coming. This is great, right? And that's part of it. In baseball, it's the same way. It's the same thing. What is your job? I mean, if you're pitching, your job is to get the other guy out. If you're batting, you're the guy that's supposed to put it in the other side. You're supposed to get in the base, right? And then they send signals. This is what's so amazing about baseball. They have all these secret signals, right? And it's awesome. I love it. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what is he saying? What is he telling him to do? And then all of a sudden, you see him standing there, and then, boom, he bunts the ball. Just very shortly, so the other guy can get to second or to third base. That's what he was trying to say, right? Everybody has a role to fulfill, but we can't do it if we don't know what a role is. So, what is expected of me? What is it expected of you as a Christian? What does God expect of you as a father, as a man, as a mother, as a woman, as a son, as a daughter, as a child, as a Christian? What does God expect of you? This is what we're going to study this morning. That is, well, you know NASCAR, right? His name is Richard Lynn, or they call him Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I don't know if you knew, but he's a member of the church in Memphis. But anyway, he's been running races. I didn't know that. I thought that was pretty cool, right? Member of the church running races. And he talks about, in the Christian Chronicle, he talks about how he has to attend early service and he has to do the chapel and all of that because, you know, he has to race that day. It's a neat story. It's in the online version of the Christian Chronicle. But you got to know what is expected of you, right? Is the church a pit stop? Is the church the thing that I got to do there because I got to fill up gas? I got to be there because I got to change my tires. Or I have to be there because it's what I got to do so I can get on with the rest of the week. Right? Does the church has become for us a pit stop where this is what we have to do because we have other things that we need to do. So that's what we need to be careful, right? So what is their role? This is a role. Be who God wants you to be. Do what God wants you to do. Let's go to the book of John, and we're going to read our first scripture there in the book of John, chapter 6. Verse 38, I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. Over there is the New American Standard Version. So this is what he says in the ASV. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You see, it's very interesting to me that Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. He's speaking to people and he's saying, guys, what am I doing here in this world? Is to do one thing, to do the will of him who sent me. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, Paul will tell us that Christ emptied himself, that he became obedient to the point of death. He became obedient and he said, it is not what I want. I'm going to do what God wants. I'm going to do what God says. You see, what is the point of every Christian? What are we doing what we're doing? Is it because Brother Duane says it? Is it because Brother David says it? Is it because, I mean, if you're a teen, is it because Scott says things to do? Right? If you're in the preteens, is it because Mr. Tim said this is what you need to do? We do things because this is what God wants us to do. So you see, it is God that sets the rules. It is God who sets the standards. And him is the one that we are going to follow. Jesus lived to do the will of God. Can I say that about me? Can I say that about what I'm doing? Can I say that of where I've been? Probably not. Not all the time. Now, what is our role? In the book of Ephesians, starting actually in chapter 5, and starting in verse 21, the Bible gives us a guideline of how we ought to be. We're just going to barely cover some of those. Like I said, this is a lot of stuff. But I just want you to see some of these things that God wants us and expects us to be. He expects children to obey their parents. Now, children, Is there any here? Let me see. 7, 8 years old. Do you guys obey your parents all the time? Right? That's a no. Right? Sometimes you're bad. Right? Thank you for saying no. That's right. They don't. I mean, that's kids. They want to rebel. They want to say, no, I don't want to do that because it's work. I don't want to do that because I don't want to do it. I'd rather play or I'd rather do something else. I don't want to eat my veggies because I don't like it. I'd rather have a hamburger or something else. We don't follow instructions. We don't obey all the time, right? But does God want you to do that? Yes, he does. He wants you to obey your parents. Just because other people are doing that doesn't mean you don't have to. Now let's move to the next one. Honor your father and mother. Does God expect you to do that? Yes. Do we do it all the time? No, do we? Yeah, it's interesting that even as adults, a lot of times, I don't speak always well of my mother or my father, because sometimes even from this pulpit, I have told you the things that my father has done. That's not honorable of him to do that, but I've told you some things. So yeah, I made mistakes like that too. But do I try to do that? Yes. Do we try to take care of them? Yes. Even though they might be in a different area, we try to do our best to take care of our folks, to take care of our family. So, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Fathers, have you ever done that? Have you ever made your kid angry? Have you ever made your child get just really mad as well? I've done that. I got an 18-year-old and I got a 15-year-old. Sometimes I had to tell them, you know, I get bored and I had to tease them. I'm just saying, I'm being honest, right? Sometimes I just, you know, just gotta have fun with them a little bit and embarrass them a little bit, and they're like, Dad, what are you doing that for? So they get angry and they're just like, I don't want to talk to you. Then you have to go and apologize and say, I'm sorry, I was just having a childhood moment, I just wanted to have fun with you, that kind of thing, right? But we don't do it all the time. This is what is interesting, folks. This is what's so amazing about what God says. He knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we're not going to do this all the time. He wants us to focus on that. However, he wants us to do that. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Wives, do you do that all the time? Right? I have a wife. No, she doesn't. Is that bad all the time? Yeah, I'll say that in second service as well when she gets here. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? We're not perfect all the time. We don't do this all the time. But are we working towards that? Are we working towards those things? Husbands, love your wives. Here it comes. The same way. Are you always nice to your wife? Oh, man. We're going to get to that. Let's go ahead and keep on working. Right. 1 Peter 3:1-8. We have another set of commandments for there. Be submissive to your own husband, so that even any of them that are disobedient to the word, or basically that they don't listen to the Lord, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Do you know that has happened here in River Chase? Several ladies have baptized their husbands. Talk to the older ladies and talk to them and see how many of them, their husbands started in the church. And you will find out that not many of them did. But they convert them to the Lord because of that verse right there. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. Do you understand your wife all the time? You see, we're gonna cover those things. So here we go. This is the part that I wanted to get to, really, as our roles. What is your role as a man? What is your role as a father? As a father, you are a teacher. As a father, you have to teach your kids. What are you teaching them? Because let me tell you, if you are not teaching them, someone is. And someone is putting a lot of effort on what they are learning. If you don't, someone else will. Because kids and children, they want to be teachable. I got a 4-year-old that is asking me, why for everything? Why this and why that? Just watching the game yesterday, just watching football. Oh, this is something special. She wants to watch football with me. I love that. I love that. Why are they wearing red? Why are they wearing white? Why are they tigers? Why are they Roll Tide? Why is it War Eagle? Why is it tigers? And why is it, tigers don't say War Eagle? She's asking all these questions. I don't know. But they're so curious. They're asking these questions. You know, and then she's just like, why are they hitting that man? Or why is she pushing? Why is he pushing them? You see what I'm going with that? They're asking everything. If I don't teach them, someone else will. If I don't teach my kids, someone else will do that. And they're going to teach them to say Roll Tide instead. I'm kidding. I love Alabama too. You got to be a leader at home. You got to be the person that is up front and saying, this is what our family is about. You got to be the one that takes the leadership at home to say, tomorrow we're going to church. But Dad, I don't want to. I'm sorry. It's not a question of whether you want to or not. This is something that is very important. Authority. We got to teach them about authority. It is not because I say so. Eventually, it will come to that. But what I want you to see is that God has given you a role as a father to lead your family to Christ. And he expects you to do that. He knows that you have to do that. Are you doing that? You are a protector of the family. As a father, you gotta teach them that you are the protector, that you are there to help them, that you are there to aid them, that you are there to keep them from harm. I can tell you story after story of how my dad was a protector and how I want to be that same type of protector to my wife. Really neat story. Just really quick. This is not about my father, but this is a preacher's story. There was this older lady and her older husband. He got really sick. And he had just a few times where he had to hang on in there from the chemo. And they said, well, he's got about 2 months to make it, and that's it. Just 2 months. And the guy was, you know, sweetheart, we have to do more than that. I cannot just be here 2 months. So they did the chemotherapy. They did everything. And after 2 months, he wasn't recovering very well. Just within a week, his health was going down so bad. And so they took him home. They bring the doctors home. They brought the nurses home. They said, it could be any time now. He hanged on at home for another month. And then he was just in and out all the time. And then just all of a sudden, his family was there. And he woke up and he said, sweetheart, did we make it? Did we make it? And she said, yes, we did. Yes, we did. Just within a few hours, he passed away. Later on that day, as they were doing arrangements, you know, that voice came in the mind of his son. And he asked, Mom, what did my dad mean by, did we make it? Was he referring to your marriage and how many years you spent together? She said, no. If he would have died 2 months ago, I would only get about half of his retirement. But if he hanged on until May 2nd, he would get the full retirement. He hanged on until May 5th. So we made it. You see, even then he was hanging on to be the protector of his family. He was hanging on there to be the one, the man that he needed to be to protect, the father to protect his wife. Isn't that awesome? Provider. That's what God wants us to be. Provide for your family. Take care of your family. What does God expect of us as a man? Love. Yeah. You know, that is not teaching. You're not teaching that as a father. You're teaching that as a man. You've got to teach how to love people. Love your wife. Love everyone around you. That is taught as a man. Because at home, it's easy to say, I love my wife. I love my kids. I interact with them. But when you're outside, loving the boss that annoys you all the time, loving the person that cuts you off every time you go home, loving the person that doesn't treat you well at the restaurant, you see what I'm saying? That's what they have to learn from us as men. Teach them how to love people. Teach them how to work. They need to learn that from us as men as well. They need to know that we work. Now, I'm not talking about 8 to 5 or 8 to 6. I'm talking about the ethic of it. The ethic of saying, I'm a working man and there's nothing wrong with me working. Because I'm a man. I got to be the person that provides, and this is what provides for the family. But also help them to see the joy in working. Not complaining about work all the time. The joy of saying, you know, I look forward to being home. I know this is what I have to do, but I look forward to being home. There is nothing wrong with working. My first job was when I was 14. I was in construction at 14, and I got fired at 14 and 1 month. But, you know, I didn't do the job like I needed to because I was spoiled. You know that. I had five sisters, and I was the youngest one. And so they did everything for me. And so I thought, you know, hey, I know I'm here to help this guy. But anyways, I'm teaching my son how to work. Teach them to do a job and to do it right. And we stop when the work is done, not when we get tired. Teach them the job has to be done. Teach them how to treat people. As a man, you got to show them that. Show them how you interact with others, but not talking behind their back, but also by how you talk about them, how you build up people. Teach them to be just. Teach them to be fair. Teach them about consequences. This is one of the hardest lessons for me right here, and I'm being honest with you, to be just at home. What that means is sometimes I discipline them because I'm tired. Sometimes I discipline them because I just want them to stop. I don't know what you think of Bill Cosby, but he once said, we don't care about justice, we care about quiet. And that's true. Sometimes we don't discipline our kids because it's right or wrong, because he's like, we just want you to stop. Just give that to the baby and so she can stop saying mine. Just give that, you see? This is one of the hardest things for me. But they need to learn from us as men that we need to be just. They need consequences. Everything that we do has consequences. Everything that we do will affect us in one way or another. Let's talk about women. What is your role as a mother? You gotta be a teacher. You gotta be a leader. You gotta be a protector. You gotta be a provider. Wait, isn't that the same thing as men? It's interesting that in the book of Ephesians, this is the role of a mother. Yeah, in the book of Proverbs 31, this is the role of a mother. Teach your kids how to love. See, we learn discipline from dad, but we learn grace from mom, right? But we also learn all these things. Mom, you have to be a teacher. Teach your children how to cook. Teach your sons how to cook. Teach your sons how to clean. There's nothing wrong with that. Teach them. Teach everyone how to do that. Be a leader at home. When dad is not there, you also are following instructions from the Lord. You also are following instructions that you need to lead your children to Christ. Be a leader. Be a protector. You don't want to mess with a mama bear. You don't want to mess with a lady, no matter how small she is. And if she has kids and if they are in danger, you don't want to mess with it. I'm scared of dogs, right? I'm scared of snakes. And guess who's the snake killer at home? Both when I was little, my mom, and now my wife. She's a protector. I feel safe at home. Right? But that's what I'm saying. Ladies are protectors as well. Teach your kids that you are protecting them. Teach your kids that you don't want anybody to hurt them. And if somebody does, they will talk to you. Yeah. You see, I remember one story about my dad as well. He wasn't a Christian all the time. He got converted, actually, just the year that I was born. And so I was able to see a lot of growth in Christianity from my father. But one of the things that I remember him, he grew up with his dad being a drunk, his dad being a bad example for him. But one thing that he did, it was really, God stuck in my mind as well. I'm thinking a lot of my dad lately, I don't know why. But One time I was playing with this kid, and his dad, this kid's dad, was a mean drunk. Mean drunk. And he came, he would go home, and the kid will not want to go home sometimes because he knows, hey, I'm going to get beat up for no reason. And so one time I was playing with him, and his dad called him, and so he's like, oh, I think my dad's home. So he went and gave him a hug, and for some reason the kid was dirty. He was playing, and it ruined his dad's clothes or something, his uniform. And the dad just pushed him and kicked him and pushed him away. So when I went home, I went running home, and I was so nervous. You know, when your voice gets exasperated, you're like, Dad, my friend just got hit by his dad, and he's not moving. He's just right there. My dad came out of the house. He went. He pushed that man on the wall, and he said, you touch this kid one more time, you're going to see with me. You will not do that again. Wow. That impressed me. But you know what was more important? My mom came out behind my dad, and she was ready too. She was ready too. My mom is like 4 foot. It impressed me. Impressed me. I was like, wow, I got great dads. Yeah, the next day I got a spanking, so. Anyways, yeah. But you see, a protector, a provider, those are the roles that God has put on us to fulfill. But what this world wants you to do, what this world wants to do is to change those roles. They want you to be fluid. Doesn't matter. See, God set, he put it on his word. He put it on the Bible, and he said, this is what I want you to do. You're a man, this is what I want you to do. You're a woman, this is what I want you to do. You're a husband, you're a wife, this is what I want you to do. And when we fail to fulfill those roles, we fail to our full potential. That's when we fail in life. This is where we fail, because we are not following what God has asked us to do, what he has given for us to do. And if we don't fulfill that, we fail. If we want to live life to our full potential, we need to follow what God has said. Be kind. Love everyone. Submit to God. That's one of the hardest things, even for men, right? You know that in Ephesians 5:21, the Bible says, submit one to the other. Isn't that interesting? A lot of times we start reading Ephesians in 5:22, but it starts in 5:21. Because it starts with submit one to the other. This is what God intended for us to do. So, is this too much to do? Is this too much for you as a man to fulfill, as a husband to fulfill, as a woman, as a wife to fulfill? This is what we got to do. Learn. Learn. You know, sometimes we don't get the best examples on how to be a good husband or how to be a man, but we can learn. Train. Train yourself to be a better father. Train yourself to be a better wife. Train yourself to be a better husband. Train yourself. This is what we have to do, and then practice it. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? Sounds like a football coach quote, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. I heard it on a Saturday. What do you do to prepare your players to play every Saturday? Right here. How do we prepare ourselves to go into the world out there and show the light of Christ? What do we need to do to prepare ourselves to go out into the world and show people that there is a God that lives and Christ lives in us? Learn, train, and practice it. We're going to finish with this scripture. I told you it was only 20 minutes. Yeah, oops. Let's finish with this scripture. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to finish there. I apologize for that. When I timed myself at home saying this, it was only 20 minutes. That's why I said that. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of his eternal covenant, listen to this in verse 21, equip you with everything good that you may do his will working in us. God's plan is for you to do God's will. God's plan hasn't changed to save the world. God's plan hasn't changed to bring everyone to Him. When we fulfill our roles, we will reach our full potential to be like Christ, to be like Him. If this morning this lesson applies to you, I know it applies to me. You know that you can come forward. But also I want you to know that you can talk to any of us the rest of the week. If you're